This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Dig it, we're back. Sunday afternoon, episode 180 of Arts and Seizures. Can you dig it? I always say thank God for the show. At least it gets me back out on the street drinking on a Sunday afternoon. And we're here, of course, St. Elizabeth of the Booth is back there twirling knobs, and I'm sitting directly across from everybody's favorite pizza, Pete Zaremba.
In the Durwood Kirby guest host chair.
With his Eisenhower-era humor.
Where are we, Mike? Where you
brought me this beautiful Eisenhower-era cocktail.
I got you a highball.
A very straightforward highball.
I got you a highball. I was going to be a Jameson and ginger. But our bartender here is very patriotic, so he gave you Dickel's whiskey. So there you go.
All right.
How is it, Mike?
It's delicious.
Mike, you know, I have to say, I wish this was TV, you know, because I wish the people at home could see.
Radio adds enough weight.
I wish the people at home could see how, you know what, you're looking so fresh today. You're looking youthful. You're glowing.
Here it comes. Get
Mike,
ready, everybody.
Wait for it. No, you're glowing, Mike. What's your secret? I mean, last week you were all worried about being old and stuff.
I moisturize.
Yeah, you look just like...
Did you take a shower today, Zaremba?
Why, is one missing?
Ba-dum-bump. Okay. Elizabeth, be ready with
Quick,
that.
Quick, we have a guest. Quick. There you go.
All right, well, I'm very happy to have with us in the studio today our good friend and colleague, Jesse Kiefer, who has been doing a... the mop-up for us. She's the cleanup batter.
And, I'm happy too, and, Mike, but I don't know about her. We'll have to see.
Always at the 3 o'clock show after the mess we create in Arts and Seizures. She comes back at 3 o'clock with the morning after show. Good to see you, Jess.
Good to see you too, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And of course, you're here not only in your capacity as the hostess with the mostest, but as wine director of La Turtle. Le Turtle. Which is a fabulous new restaurant on the Lower East Side. And you are the fabulous new wine director. And I want to talk to you about how to create a wine list. And I want to rant and rave about wine lists I fucking hate. But first, we're going to start with a wine list that I love. La Turtle.
What about your?
So we just opened on Christie and Rivington. It's a beautiful space. Tavo Summer designed it. He also owns Freeman's and Issa.
I love Freeman's.
Good.
I absolutely love Freeman's.
Yeah, it's a solid place. It's been there for 10 years. Yeah. Totally reliable, great spot. And so then jumping on board with Tavo to open La Turtle seemed like a completely good idea. And the idea initially for the design of the space was Future France.
Oh, did you ever go to the place Future World? It was somewhere on the French Highway, and all of your tours of the flesh tones.
Oh yes, of course. And there was Asterix. Like
that white geodesic dome. Yeah. And it was some sort of basically a shopping mall.
Yeah, it was near. It was called Future World. Is also along that.
World.
Yeah, Asterix World.
By the way, you're very young, but you may probably don't remember Logan's Run. But in the future, according to Logan's Run, everything escalators were going to be the big thing. And this was like the 23rd century.
This movie was made in the 70s,
Jetsons,
right?
Mike?
It's horrible.
You know, and the list, which reminds me, I wanted to talk about Astro the dog, but we'll get to that. Let's talk about the turtle.
Let's look ahead. What was on the Jetsons wine list? Let's look ahead.
The future of France. Tell me about the wine list over at Turtle. I'm very curmudgeonly when it comes to wine lists. They're wine lists, like these hoary old wine lists at steakhouses or things. I seethe with anger when I see, you know, like the wine list at Smith & Wolensky or one of these, you know, old neoclassical quasi-Jurassic, you know, meat joints. But tell me how you put together your wine list and why everyone should dig it.
Sure. I mean, I would say that my wine list is the antithesis of the Smith & Wolinski wine list, for sure. It's only on one page.
It's like the La Brea Tar Pits of wine over there.
Exactly. It's only on one page.
I'm a saber-toothed tiger.
Bing, 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 bing. I love the one-page wine list. And how is it organized?
It's all French wine. Mm-hmm. And I decided to... I mean, because we are doing French cuisine, I decided to do all France. Some people, you know, kind of are asking for Italian wine, this and that, but I wanted to just focus on one thing. Also, all the wines are natural.
Biodynamic.
So, meaning biodynamic, low sulfur, minimal intervention, small farmers. I'm not dogmatic about it. I'm not like, it has to be no sulfur or I don't drink it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did want to have wines that are still alive and still very expressive.
Okay,
to go with the food.
So Zaremba's sitting down, he's eating, right? You're the sommelier, you're at the table. And I sit, you say, well, here's the carte de vin, you know? Yeah. And so, and I look at it, well, I'd like a nice Italian wine. What do you say?
Sure, I would probably gear you towards maybe something southern French, something from Bandol or Languedoc-Roussillon,
But then I'm like, I'm a demanding customer. I'm more in the mood for a Spanish wine.
All right.
Do you have any Spanish wine here?
Then I'm going to direct you towards Fair Servidou, which is a southwestern French grape, kind of peppery, little spice to it, medium body.
What if you want a little Jewish wine?
Pete,
you never take me to Bloomingdale's.
That wine is so rich you can cut it with a knife. Remember that? That was their slogan.
I guess I'm giving you a wine with a little residual sugar then.
Okay, I get the idea.
Just melt a lollipop over some rocks.
I really want like a northwestern kind
but
of
I,
wine.
No, I, th-
you
I
know?
Think
like
no.
From like a Pinot Noir from the Northwest. What would you say to me?
Then I'm gonna give you maybe Loire Valley Pinot Noir.
And what's that gonna run like a guy like Zaremba? Look at him.
He's not
a hobo, but he's obviously got no visible source of income. So.
I believe in very affordable wines, so I'm going to have I'm going to have the higher end stuff for the people who want to spend money, but I'm also going to have wines in $40 range.
How many wines under $50 are on your list?
The quality is not going to change. I would say I've got at least 4 to 5 wines that are under, okay, not under 40, but around $40.
Okay.
Like 40, 50, 60 is kind of the sweet spot.
Is there something I can get for $30 on your list?
Glasses, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, let's say, yeah. Let's say Mike,
I'll drink right from the bottle.
Mike is on a date and he wants to impress his date.
This,
he wants a $30 bottle.
This is like science fiction. Mike is on a date. I like the premise.
We're in the future, Mike.
Anything could happen. Well, listen, I go to a nice restaurant, I don't necessarily expect to see a great bottle of wine for $30.
I don't expect
What I do dislike, though, is when there's nothing like, you know,
right.
Okay, listen, you know what you're getting when you walk through the door, but if there's nothing I can choose in the $40, $50 range, especially if I want to have 2 bottles of wine, which is,
usual.
And then my date will want 2 bottles of wine as well, no doubt. I do want to see something like, I don't want to be forced into spending $78 on a bottle of wine just because I sat down to dinner. I'd like to make the choice, and I will drop $80 in a wine or $100 in a bottle of wine, no problem, but I like to have a choice, but not too many choices that I get dizzy.
Sure. No, I do think that the restaurants that only have wines for $60 and up, they're doing that on purpose. They're not doing that because that's how much wine costs. I mean, that's how much very expensive wine costs, sure, but it is totally, totally possible to find valuable wine, delicious wine at an affordable price.
I absolutely think so. And, I work with Joe Bastianich sometimes, and he always says there's not a bottle of wine in the world that costs more than $5 to make. And it's all about mystique. And, of course, hey, listen, it's about real estate. There are a lot of things that go in there, but, you know, it's grapes and water. And that being said, though, you know, there are values at restaurants like Babbo. You can do okay there. And that's the thing. You know, I will drop some real coin on some wine, depending on the day, and if I just got paid, and if my royalty check is anemic as it usually is. But if I want to spend $48, I want a wine that's $48 is going to knock my socks off.
But I like Jess's philosophy, and so you're pairing your menu. Since I haven't been to
Le Turtle,
which means what in French?
It means
it means the in French and turtle in English.
Exactly. Exactement. So what are you serving so that we have an idea?
Yeah.
When I walk through the door with Mike, let's say.
Okay. So he's taking me on a date.
Let's say I walk through the door with Mike.
This is the future in France when we're on a date together.
Well, I mean, so it is French cuisine, but we are in New York, and we're not trying to be completely by the book French technique. However, our chef Greg is from Blanca, so the Michelin star restaurant that's associated with Roberta's, and he's doing amazing things. We're doing a whole chicken for two, so that for me is going to be like white Burgundy, Jura wine, high acidity.
I love the Jura.
Really?
I love the Jura wines.
Things like that that are gonna take you through an entire meal, because you got to wait 45 minutes for a whole chicken to get ready.
So then you want, but before that, you're going to have.
Sure, you're going to have some bubbles.
What the French call an entree, but we call an appetizer. Sure. For whatever reason, we call
you're talking
an
about
entree.
The first bottle of wine.
Yeah, the first.
I would start with a white Burgundy, but then I'd move to with the chicken. Then I'd move to red. I love the. It's like changing for dinner. It's the thing that separates us from the animals.
The bartender here poured me this red. I don't know. Starting off the day with a red Mathia, and I'm going to give it a little.
Well done.
Legs,
like a professional.
Legs, two. Nose, I've already got one. Come on. What, you have a song about wine or something, Mike? Come on.
Oh, man, it's going to get... Just wait later, though.
That's Mike on the guitar.
I'm turning the punk rock button.
Jess from Le Turtle.
What's your favorite cartoon turtle? Do you have a favorite cartoon turtle? I'm going with Yertle because it's the only one I can think of.
I can't think of any cartoon.
It's not really a cartoon.
I mean, I'm going to go with like Donatello.
Oh, Ninja. Awesome. Donatello. Ninja Turtles. You see, they eat pizza and they don't wear clothes. Those are my kind of turtles.
That sounds like a Heritage Radio turtle. Really? The Ninja Turtles.
All right. Here we are at Heritage Radio Network, naked and eating pizza.
Fantastic. And streaming, with headbands.
And streaming live from Roberta's with Pizza Run, but of course, Jesse Kiefer of Le Turtle. This is just the first of many, many songs I intend to serenade you with today's Zaremba.
What is this one called?
We'll drink wine, Smoriori.
And we're going to sing. You too, Jess.
Well, down in New Orleans, where everything's fine. Drinking that gin and drinking that wine. Drinking that mess, baby, with the light. And then I get drunk, I fight all night. Drinking wine, Smoriori.
Drinking wine.
Drinking wine, Smoriori.
Drinking wine.
Arts and Seizures, like all the shows on Heritage Radio, are member supported, and that includes, of course, Jesse's show, The Morning After, which will be coming on live at 3 p.m. after us every Sunday.
I'll stick around.
So if you see a button there, it says donate, be a member, push that button, give some money, and Pizza Rumble will come over to your house and play the kazoo or some.
Let's order some pizza.
Thing.
Let's order some pizza, Mike.
Let's order some pizza. All right. So let me ask you something. Jesse, you are...
Honestly, Jess.
Honestly.
Please, I would love to be honest, Mike.
Listen.
No, I am not musically inclined.
I don't know that it's important to your game. Do you feel competition from men in this world, especially in the French wine world? You're a young woman. I mean, you're obviously very talented. You are as good as it's going to get, but this is obviously a gig dominated by men. You getting any pressure, or are you being welcome to do it? Do you find it difficult?
I mean, I feel like, sure, there are. It is a relatively male-dominated world, but in the wine world, but I don't feel any pressure. No, I think I feel pressure in just making sure that the guest, whoever they may be, get the right thing.
Is that an old-fashioned question to even ask?
No, anymore? It's not, because I think I like the idea of a woman sommelier, because I think in the past the male sommelier has been somewhat of a threatening, coercive figure.
Fucking thugs.
Yeah, right? Come on. Well, I recommend the, you know, and then it's like, okay, yeah, well, you know, and they embarrass you in front of your dates. So all of a sudden, you know, you're ordering the Chateau Lafite, you know, 1893, you know, and
yeah,
taking out a mortgage to pay for it.
Honestly, I think that the just the term sommelier has very much changed.
Good.
I think it's become more casual. You know, you can wear jeans to work and sneakers and still sell fancy wine, but you can also kind of just cut it down and talk like a normal human, and that's the way I approach it.
But you can't call it sommelier without being a sommelier.
Honestly, I think you can. I think that I learned in the school of hard knocks. I learned on the street. That's how I learned about wine.
That's why I spend most of my time drinking it.
Besides, what is recommending wine got to do with being a sleepwalker?
Ripple
anyway,
or Thunderbird,
right?
Zaremba.
But I mean, I think it's important to further your education, but you can also learn that by tasting and by, you know, just traveling and drinking a lot, Mike.
You don't have to
go to school for it.
I am by... I drank for the United States 92 to 95. I would consider myself a very knowledgeable wine consumer, but no way am I qualified to do your job. Not in any possible way am I qualified to do that. That being said, though, I do know more than the average bear, I think. I know when I'm being upsold, you know. I know that I'm being profiled. I know wine guys come to my table and they look at me and they look at my shoes and they look at my date and they're trying to size up, is it my girlfriend? Are we on a first date? Is it my wife? Is it a mistress? I mean, how much am I trying to impress this girl? And am I buying the wine for me or am I buying the wine for her? And am I taking into account all of these things? Which honestly, as a mensch, I try to do, because, you know, I have to consider my date's taste as well as my own. And let me ask you this. Do you think men and women taste wine differently?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure we do. I hear that women are better tasters, but that's just what I hear. You know, but I think that it's possibly that, you know, all those things that you're describing about going into, you know, profiling a guest, I don't do that. I can't speak for all women, but I just go into it asking them the questions. What do you like? What are you interested in? Because ultimately, that's the most important thing. I don't want to just sell you something because of my ego. I want to sell you the right thing for you.
Well, you are an honest wine person. Lord knows they're you know.
I think there's more and more of us out there, Mike.
I think so too.
It's a business rife with honesty. But
exactly. Wait, which one is that?
The drinking business,
the music industry.
Yeah. The music business, yeah, of course.
But a great wine person is so invaluable, and a great sommelier is so great, who can really guide you and can help you. And another lesson I've always learned is that the customer is not always right. And that's why I go to restaurants, is because I want to be told.
When we were in Russia, we ate in restaurants and went to stores.
You mean your people?
Yes.
Great wine culture.
Great wine culture.
Your people?
The Georgian champagne. But where the customer is not always wrong, but probably guilty as well. That's the sort of customer treatment there.
So these two Americans.
The two Americans go. What happens?
They go into a Russian restaurant. And they order a bottle of vodka, right? And they pour a couple shots. And you know what they did then? They put the top back on the bottle. Stupid Americans.
Speaking of reds, I actually do have
nice segue.
I have a communist wine on the list right now. It's
Jesse Guy for the morning after, right after our show, 3 p.m. Tune in.
From Jean-François Nick in the Languedoc-Roussillon. His winery is called Le Follard Rouge, which means the red scarves. And mm-hmm. the wine I have is called Frida, as in Frida Kahlo,
Frida
who was
Kahlo.
Very famous communist sympathizer.
Very famous wealthy communist.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Actually, that sounds good. No, a communist
Frida Kahlo, Bernie Sanders.
As opposed to a Stalinist wine, which, you
or
know,
a socialist
you
wine.
Just got to love it. You know what I mean?
You got to love it. You got to love it. Well, what's your favorite wine on your list? Do you have a favorite? Or
I think that's like picking children, Mike. It's you know,
oh, whoa, come on.
For me,
obviously you're your daddy's favorite, Jess.
Yeah,
we can
obviously
see that.
Obviously, no. For me, I really love what I like to call see-through red wine.
Ah.
Oh.
It's very like light, low, like small, like little bit of skin contact, not
like
a lot of tannin.
Like something from the Loire?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So, I mean, for me, the Pinot d'Anis from Brendan Tracy that I have on the list,
Loire,
sometimes yes. We call it penis d'Anis.
Oh, really?
I'm so sorry about
That's
that.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay. It reminds me of another song that I wanted to sing for me. Because I just can't quit him.
Oh, so tender.
Today might be the day I roofie you, Zaremba. And then I was worried that I could. I was thinking about that.
You know, I was wondering what happened but the last
realized,
show.
Then I realized you don't really need my help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys got it covered already with the highballs.
Listen, I think, you know, it's a natural progression of people who enjoy wine. To want to rush toward big, bold wines with reds when they first start Bordeaux and big cabs. They sort of like macho steak wines, especially with dudes anyway. And on the white side, definitely like big buttery Burgundies. And you want, because it's just like, wow. You know, it's like being, you know, razzle-dazzled by Kiss when you're a kid. You want the pyrotechnics. And then you can sort of pull back a little bit and get wine that's a little bit lighter, as you say, but it has some structure, is more elegant, has more notes, it's more complex, because hopefully, you know, we've evolved a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, red wine doesn't have to be a punch in your face for it to actually be good wine. I think that people don't realize that. They definitely think that tannin, very dry, very bold, is red wine, and that's not true. There's so many different styles and so many different opportunities to drink those different styles.
And especially, you know, when I'm out, you know, on a date and the boy wants the steak and the girl wants the fish, don't read anything into that, no matter what song I'm about to play, Zaremba.
What do you do?
By the way, do you serve half bottles at your restaurant?
You know, we're actually going to start doing half bottles that are part of the By the Glass program. Mm-hmm. So you can order a glass or you can order a half bottle.
You do Cortinos or anything like that?
No, not yet.
A split?
Not at all. We're going to, I mean, I think the half bottle is going to be the closest.
I love the half bottle.
You like
wine.
A half bottle?
I do, because I can get, you know, a half bottle of something, you know, a little, maybe, you know, more uptown than I might normally order, especially if, you know, my date wants to drink white and I want to drink red, and, you know, I don't want to compromise. I don't like compromise. You know what compromise gets us? It gets us the Affordable Health Care Act. Okay? I want, you know, the single-payer wine program.
One wine fits all.
Okay, I'm stretching a metaphor, but I mean, like, I'm eating a steak.
What are you trying to say, Mike?
And I do want a big, bold wine. I do want a 14%, like, you know, Syrah or Cab or a classic Bordeaux with my steak. Of course I do, but you know, that may not fit for the whole table, so a half bottle is a fantastic solution, and especially when I don't want to drop, like, you know, 95 bottles. It's just me drinking.
No, I mean, it's also very French to have, like, a half bottle. It's like kind of like a little carafe of, you know, of something that you wanted to right. check out, but you don't want to commit to the entire bottle.
That's,
I mean,
right.
I will say in New York City, you can order a bottle, you can throw a cork in it, and you can leave the restaurant with it. So that
we
kind of
that?
Encourages people to buy bottles of wine. Yeah, just don't drink it on the street.
I like the concept, but
Michael, apropos what you asked before, the Flesh Tones were playing a show very near the Chateau Neuf de Pas, and we were being we were being entertained Neuf that evening by the local government oenologue, I think, is
okay.
that Philippe? Philippe Reboul.
Okay.
And one of the Flesh Tones asked him, he brought a whole case of Chateau Neuf de Pas for us of various sorts.
Wow, that's classic.
So we were trying different ones, and one of the guys said, honestly, Philippe, if I'm drinking, which bottle should I start with first? And Philippe was actually, he looked a little hurt by the question, and he arched his eyes a bit, and he said, why, the best, of course. So I've always liked that, Mike. That's been my motto since then.
Start with the best?
Start with the best, Mike.
Yeah, because you won't remember the worst later.
It could be. Start with the best.
Well, just, you know, straight up before I serenade you.
You got to serenade me? Why don't you serenade Jess? Why don't we both serenade Jess?
That sounds nice.
Wait, it's too early for that. Which song are we doing?
We're going to do Summer Wine.
Do it.
Let's do this.
Do it. I like that song.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring.
And she's got to listen.
My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too. A song I had only sung for just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time. And I will give to you my summer wine.
Ooh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your spurs and give me a little time, and I will give to you my summer wine.
When I woke up, my ceiling was shining in my eyes. My silver spurs were gone, my head fell twice its size. She took my silver spurs, a dollar and a dime, and left me craving for more summer wine. Oh, oh, a summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. I'll stroke your shaft and I'll cup your balls gently. I'll give you my mouth and everything. I will deliver you. Ring a ding ding. Oh, summer wine. Remember, I just can't quit you, Danny.
I can't quit you. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounded like that was from Perpy.
Yeah, I made that up on the G train on the way over here.
Mike, you make a great Nancy Sinatra.
These boots are not just made for walking. I don't even know what the fuck that means. All right, this is another show. I apparently we're gonna fix that one in post, Elizabeth. We gotta get the
post. Auto-tune. It went out live. What are we gonna do now, Jess?
Get a kayfabe.
We'll be all right. We'll be all right.
All right. So we want to come visit you at the La Turtle.
Le.
And tell us about
le.
Yeah.
Your mastery of French just turns me to Beurre Blanc.
Right.
It is so broke bracket right now. This is amazing. If you guys want to come visit me, it's on Christian Rivington, right on the corner there. You can't miss it. We have amazing neon designer. Yes, we have a neon designer. You can see the lights from the outside. We've got a big sign on the side of the building that says La Turtle. You can't miss it.
Is there a turtle?
There is no turtle.
So I have a turtle.
The turtle,
I do. Yes. It's called Dugu, and it's a red ear slider, and she's about 15 years old. And I tell my son, not only is he going to inherit this turtle, but he has to figure out who he's going to leave the turtle.
Because the turtle's going to live forever.
Well, we can only hope the same for your restaurant. We wish you the best of success.
I'm going.
Thank you.
It's a date.
It's a date.
Can I win you over with that last song, Zaremba?
And we're going to see what wine she pairs to us.
All right.
This song's called Let's Get Hot.
Okay, great. So everybody go see our friend Jesse Kiefer, the wine director at The Turtle down on Christie Street in the Lower East Side. Thanks to Liz in the booth and everybody out in Radio Land. Don't forget, we're member supported. Please push that button and give us your hard-earned money so we can do it again. We'll be back next week with more madness. So for Liz and Jesse and everybody's favorite pizza, Pizza Rambo, I'm Mike Edison here on Arts and Seizures. And
play out. See to play.
All right. Don't forget, stay tuned because at 3 p.m. Jesse's coming back to mop up this mess we just made on her show the morning after. Thanks for coming, Jess.
See, it does get
Thank
better.
You, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be here. Lots of fun.
Isn't it?
Two kinds.
It is. Of course it is.
You are two kinds.
In A.
In the key of punk. In A?
Yeah.
You're playing the punk.
Baby, let's get high. We're gonna have a real good time. Baby, let's get high. We're gonna have a real good time. Well, we started off drinking whiskey, but we end up drinking wine. We're gonna get so high, we won't know what we're doing. We're gonna get so high, we won't know what we're doing. We're gonna drink so much wine, it's gonna be our ruin. Michael, on the guitar. spent all my money, and my head is hurting bad. But I don't regret a single moment, 'cause of all the fun we had. Come on, let's get high.
I said, let's get high.
Come on, let's get high.
And drink the little wine.
Let's get high.
Let's get high.
Let's get high. Let's get high. We're gonna have a good time.
Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.